When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Keeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Ed Kratz here, your Eagles Today publisher. I'm joined by my colleague, John McMullen. He's with Eagles Today as well. And you can check out all our writing at si.com/NFL/Eagles. We are here at training camp, day seven, I believe, John.
Day seven of open practice, yes.
Saturday morning. Of course, tomorrow is the big one. They have the open practice. Any fan who wants to watch these Eagles practice, and I would recommend that you do. I think, you know, it's been pretty entertaining so far, this camp with the practices. And they have an open session Sunday night at Lincoln Financial Field. Starts at 7 o'clock. $10 gets you in the door, and the proceeds go to Eagles Autism Foundation with great cause. So if you're in the area and you want to stop by, I'd recommend it. But here we are on Saturday. John, we saw quite a bit today. It was a yellow practice, 90 minutes long. Yeah. So tomorrow they're going to be full green. Sunday night they're going to be full green practice, and they'll probably be in full pads. They'll probably go about an hour and 45, so you'll get your money's worth. We got some money worth today. John, take us around what you saw today real quick.
Some good and bad. I think, you know, if you look up, down, this is probably in the middle. Everybody's wondering about the Eagles' offense. The defense has been pretty good, pretty consistent throughout camp. I thought today was pretty even from an offensive standpoint. A little bit of a stalemate. Defense is very, very talented, as we talked about, but Jalen Hurts had some nice throws, especially in team drills. He found Dallas Goedert on the seam route in stride, which is a big part of this because, you know, once you get it to receivers like Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown in stride, they can do some damage with their physicality. And the next play, exactly that. A.J. Brown crossing over the middle. He was able to stiff-arm poor Kerry Vincent, a couple times. You're really starting to see the physicality of A.J. Brown when he's out there. It's really, really difficult to deal with. You know, Devontae Smith obviously is not in the mix right now with a little bit of a groin injury. Greg Ward is out. Zach Pascal still coming back from a bad case of food poisoning. He told you, Ed, that he lost 16 pounds. 16 pounds from a case of food poisoning. So, Jalen Reagor's getting some reps. Britton Coby got a few first-team reps. So, he's an exciting player for Eagles fans. Shifty slot receiver. And he's been having a good camp. So, I think it was a pretty even day between the offense and the defense.
Yeah, a little more detail on some of that. As far as that stiff arm that A.J. Brown gave poor Kerry Vincent, it was like he just slapped him in the helmet once, and then Kerry Vincent kept coming, and Brown slapped him again in the helmet. I mean, you know, it was good stuff. Fun to watch. And then Britton Coby, yeah, this was his second straight practice that he really stood out, in my opinion. You know, he had a nice catch kind of over the middle where he had to kind of reach into a tight window. He was well guarded, a shorter throw. Gardner Minshew was the quarterback on both his receptions here. But made a nice grab. And then another play, he was able to just get open, wide open. And Minshew hit him about 25 yards down the field, and it was an easy catch because there was nobody near him.
Yeah, he's so shifty. That's the word I use. He's really difficult to deal with. You know, the concern is obviously he's very small, and you don't know how he can hold up in the NFL. And people talk about the Julian Edelmans of the world, the Wes Welkers of the world, but those guys were pretty big, pretty stocky for their frames. Pretty put together. Britton Coby, probably still needs a year or two in the gym, so to speak, to develop that NFL type body. And speaking of NFL type bodies, Marcus Epps, I continue to be impressed.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I told the story on the show. He bought a gym in Southern California. He's really taken to sort of remaking his body. You know, Boston Scott was added to the injury list today with the concussion. Well, Marcus Epps is the one who gave him that concussion because he's just banging people on the back end. Probably shouldn't be, but at times he's just a completely different player. So he continues to impress. And then the defensive line, the versatility. Brandon Graham lining up inside today. Milton Williams outside. Jonathan Gannon can do a lot of different things with that defensive line.
Yeah, you mentioned Boston Scott. Yeah, we talked about that hit, I think, on the last episode here. I mean, that was just, he just belted poor Boston right near the goal line. And, you know, I guess it was, I don't know if it was on purpose or accidental, but Scott laid there for a few seconds. He wasn't even moving, and Epps had his hand out to try to help him up, and Scott just laid there. And I thought he got knocked out. I'm not saying he did. We haven't gotten to the bottom of exactly what happened there, but you know, Scott got up and he was still, you know, looking like he was participating as much as he could in practice, but pretty certain that's the hit that gave him a concussion. So, you know, he joined Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard, still working through their concussions, sitting out practice on Saturday. And you know, obviously he's a key part of this offense, I think, Boston Scott.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they use the backs. And, you know, last year it was Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. They pretty much only used two backs at the beginning of the season. Then Miles got hurt. Kenny fumbled in Las Vegas. And that opened the door for Boston Scott and Jordan Howard as well at the time. Boston proved he can play. I think he proved a lot to this particular coaching staff. So he should be in the mix. Maybe we'll see a three-man rotation this time around. But I'm interested at, you know, Kenny Gainwell. I expected third down work, expected a lot of hurry up work. The goal line back, Kenny Gainwell. I'm pretty amazed by that. That Kenny Gainwell. And maybe Jalen Hurts is essentially the Eagles' real goal line back.
Yeah, and well, Hurts with the 10 rushing touchdowns last season. Gainwell had 5 rushing touchdowns. You know who didn't have a rushing touchdown? Miles Sanders. Yeah. And Miles Sanders,
by the way, what do you think Miles thinks of those? He's not out there in those high leverage situations. Third downs, hurry up, goal line. It's all Kenny Gainwell.
Yeah, you wonder. You know, his touchdowns, they might have to be the home run variety. And we've seen Sanders capable of hitting them from distance, going on long runs that end in the end zone. He made a mistake today, and I think it was his mistake. I couldn't get anybody to confirm exactly what happened. Maybe you saw it. I don't think I asked you, but they were doing a running play, and Hurts handed it to Sanders, and it looked like he had it and went into the line, and the defense was reacting like he had it, and then all of a sudden it was on the ground, the football. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if Sanders dropped it when he had it or if there was a problem at the mesh point between him and Hurts. To me, it looked like Sanders had the ball and the defense knew it because they were converging on him after 2 or 3 yards. But then the next thing you know, the ball's on the ground right around the line of scrimmage. So yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe he didn't get it correctly on the handoff. I didn't know what the issue was.
I think, and I saw the play. I think the problem was at the mesh point. And you're right. The ball was on the ground for a long time. It was like nobody knew where it was until Jalen Hurts was able to scramble back and get it.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, you know, muddied the waters. But I think the actual fumble was at the mesh point, and nobody realized the ball was on the ground. They were playing the running play, and Jalen Hurts was able to recover. That's one of those things where, I mean, it's a bad play, but that's what training camp is for, and hopefully you clean those types of things up. But you can have problems that, you know, those great running quarterbacks, they're going to put that football in your midsection for a really, 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 really long time, and they might pull it at the last split second. And sometimes the running back's like, I want this ball, and I'm grabbing it, and you have that sort of loggerhead. So,
tug of war.
Yeah, you always have that issue, and I'm not too concerned about it, but you're probably going to see that a couple times because Jalen Hurts is going to take that clock down, so to speak, to the last split second.
Yeah, maybe we can try to get to the bottom of it Sunday when Nick Sirianni will talk to us prior to the 7 o'clock practice. Maybe he'll be asked about what happened on that particular play. And then I should also mention the probably the defensive play of the game, I would, or of the day, I would guess, was Darius Slay rising up. Very athletic play, very tight coverage on Quez Watkins. It happened in a 7-on-7 drill. Jalen Hurts didn't get the ball out far enough for Quez to get to it, but Slay was right on Watkins' back, and he turned and he rose up. It happened right in front of me. Rose up pretty high and made a very athletic catch and came down on his back and kept a hold of the football. And that interception by Hurts was ended a string of three straight practices where he hadn't thrown an interception. I believe that's his fourth now. He had one in each of the first three practices, and he has another one. But, you know, listen, you got to credit Slay on that. Yeah, you could say Hurts should have thrown the ball out further, and yeah, he should have, but, you know, he didn't. And Slay went up and made a great play on it. It was great to see from the Pro Bowl corner. And there was a few fans, obviously. They come out every practice, a couple hundred of them. They recognized it, and they gave a nice loud cheer for Slay when he came down with that football. So great play by him. And I expect we'll see some of that once the season gets rolling.
Well, Slay is tremendously athletic. We know that. So, but I do look at that play, and I say you could look at both sides of it. You know, maybe another corner isn't able to make that play. But you also do have to put in what you mentioned. That ball was underthrown. So, maybe if it's one of the young corners, they're not going to come down with it. Darius Slay was able to come down with it. But you're letting the corner have the opportunity to make a play on the football. So I'm sure that's one that Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen will say, look, you got to get the ball out there. And you're not going to overthrow Quez Watkins, so just let him run under it. But it was a great play from Darius Slay.
And again, that's the benefit to having two great corners in Slay and Bradbury, who appears like he's on his way to maybe that's another good play that happened today. James Bradbury, and it wasn't so much Bradbury as it was Deion Kane, but Bradbury made a nice PBU, kind of came in at the last minute and spacked at the ball, and somehow the ball went up in the air, and Deion Kane was able to kind of position his body. The ball floated just for an instant, and Deion Kane was able to adjust his body kind of on the sideline and come down with the reception. That was a great play by Kane to keep, you know, his eye on that ball and to keep concentration. And I thought it was a good play by Bradbury, kind of coming from out of nowhere to swat that ball away. So
one thing you always hear about defensive coaches, they always talk about length with cornerbacks, and you always kind of roll your eyes. It's become a cliche. But then you see James Bradbury out there, and you say, oh, that's what they're talking about, because he is so long. He makes it so difficult. And even on play where, as you mentioned, Deion Kane is able to make a great play and adjust to the football. You know, he's adjusting to the football because James Bradbury is so long, he's able to get his hand in there for the pass breakup. So Bradbury's been tremendous early in this camp, and hopefully it continues throughout the season for the Eagles.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll stay with Deion Kane because he was involved in another couple plays. There was a nice throw in the corner, back corner of the end zone from Minshew again, I believe. Andre Cesheri was tightly guarding him, but the ball went right through Kane's hands. He could have had that, but Cesheri was so close, kind of bothering him with that throw. But it's one you'd like to see a guy like Kane, who's fighting for a job here, come down with. And then there was another play where he was the target.
It was back-to-back,
They went right back to Kane, only this time they had him run a post pattern.
And it looked like a touchdown, this one.
But lo and behold, comes flying out of nowhere is the undrafted rookie, right? Josh Jobe from the University of Alabama. Second very good defensive play of the game, but he kind of went out on a full extensions and swatted that ball away before it got to Kane. Just a great play. And then the other play I'm talking about is against Jalen Reagor. Reagor went up to catch a ball, really elevated nicely, and had the ball. His helmet came off as he jumped, so he's helmetless. He catches the ball, and as he's coming down, Josh Jobe is there, kind of pawing at him, swatting at him, tackling him, and he knocked the ball loose. And it was hard to see, but the ball did squirt out. The ref on the scene signaled an incompletion. So Josh Jobe really stood out today. But again, it's going to be tough for someone like him to make this roster.
It really is. You know, for the first time in a long time, we talk about really linebacker and cornerback for the Eagles. You have depth. Mm-hmm. You know, Darius Slay was talking about Zach McPherson the other day and how much he's improved. The Eagles are working Josiah Scott at safety. Mm-hmm. That tells me they want to find a spot for him. He plays slot corner of the backup to Avonte Maddox. Now he's taking second team reps at safety. That tells me they see value in Josiah Scott. Kerry Benson, we mentioned, in a bad way with A.J. Brown. But look, nobody can deal with A.J. Brown. He's been really, really impressive. Mack McCain was back at practice in a limited fashion. He was the one taking second-team reps before he hurt his knee, banged up his knee. So these young guys, and it's Josh Jobe, it's Mario Goodridge, it's Josh Blackwell, they have a tough numbers game. But good news is the practice squad is 16 deep, and the Eagles will try to keep all these young corners because they've really shown some developmental potential.
Yeah, and I'll throw another name out there who we saw today take second team left tackle reps because Mulata and Dillard are both out. On Thursday it was Coyote Iwasika that took left tackle, and he really wasn't the answer. He kind of got overwhelmed. I think he's more of an interior guy, guard. But today they had Josh Stills out there, or Sills I think it is, from Oklahoma State. He played second team left tackle, and you know what? The quarterbacks had some time, so you know he wasn't getting overwhelmed.
It was definitely better.
Question about it. He seemed like he held up pretty well. So again, another undrafted free agent that, you know, they love their offensive alignment. Don't know how many are going to make the team. I think 9, maybe 10. But, you know, he's somebody that could be a practice squad guy because he held up well. And I think he's more of a guard-type player, too. But they threw him out at left tackle, and he seemed to do well. And LaRaven Clark, I thought, played better.
Yeah, he settled down a little bit.
He settled down a little bit at the first team, yeah.
So we got a chance to, you know, talk to Javon Hargrave after practice. You know, he was talking up Isaac Seumalo, saying he's the toughest one to go up against in one-on-one drills. We're talking about depth. Obviously, the Eagles have a ton of depth on the offensive line. While LaRaven Clark struggled, remember, that's the third-team left tackle. Yeah. That's bad luck. Usually, if you're down to your third-team left tackle,
right. You're
not even going to do as well as LaRaven Clark.
But again, you got to give Jeff Stoutland, the line coach, some credit there. He probably takes these guys, coaches them up. There's some film now that they can look at and break down and makes the corrections necessary. So, you know, again, feathering Jeff Stoutland's cap for what he's doing with some of these guys that are kind of deeper down on the depth chart. But anyway, so that's going to do it right now. John and I, we're going to go write a few stories here to keep you entertained at SI.com/NFL/Eagles. And we will be at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday night, and we'll hope to see you there.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.